Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Does it make any sense to just take a look at Kobe and Zach together to get that energy to start a game?
I keep getting this question, and I'm just going to answer it one more time.
Oh.
Kobe's in a good place. We're going to keep him in a good place, and we'll see how it goes. I understand what you're trying to ask, but let's let Kobe keep playing, and let's let him keep developing, and let's keep him in a good spot, and that's my goal right now. So, thank you.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
I don't know how you guys don't laugh sometimes when Jim Boylan is speaking. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got The Score. Welcoming in studio my buddy Cody Westerlund, covers the Bulls for 670thescore.com. He was there last night. I heard you asking Jim Boylan some questions in the postgame, and it got interesting in the pregame as well.
Yeah, it got interesting when Joe Kelly...
Let's start with the pregame, because a lot of people don't hear what happens there. What happened before the game?
Well, usually, you run through the old injury list, stuff like that, matchups and everything, but the Bulls don't like Jim talking about injuries too much, so half of that's off the table. Matchups only go so far when it's like a couple teams under 500 playing each other with not a lot of hope. I guess last night was the Thunder, obviously, but we've seen plenty of bad Bulls basketball. I don't think everyone cares about the X's and O's when they play the Suns, for example. So Joe Calley of the Sun-Times asked Jim Boylan last night, just how much do you care about your one loss record? Because right now it's the second worst in Bulls franchise history. I believe he's 37-80, which is about a winning percentage of 317. And
wait, his head coaching record is the second worst in franchise history
right now?
Yes,
behind Tim Floyd.
Wow.
Did you know that, Joe?
Only Floyd. How close to Floyd are
no,
we?
No, Floyd's way down there. Like, this is around like 205 or something.
Yeah,
so it's
really
a little
bad.
Different. But that's when you heard that clip. And Boylan, I guess that clip post-game was about Kobe White. But Boylan pre-game was asked about win-loss record. And he said development's what he's focused on. And he's not personally worried about his record. And there were a couple follow-ups. And he said, that's not my calling, which always makes me chuckle as he's head coach of the Bulls. Like, what exactly is your calling here? It's like to mold leaders sometimes is what it feels like when all anyone in the seats wants is to win basketball games. So,
yeah, that's a different message than what they were giving the entire fan base before the season started. Hey, we expect to be in the playoffs. It's time.
Exactly different. And you have to go back. If you remember at Media Day, I think it was Pax who first revealed the playoffs is some sort of goal that they could try to achieve. Mm-hmm. But he cited Jim giving the players a goal as something that Jim talked about with the players. And I don't want to say that it was Jim Boylan walking in there on day one and screaming, we're going to make the playoffs, but it's something that the team had talked about. It's something that he encouraged. It's something that he pushed. So this is a massive moving of the goalposts. There's no doubt about that. And I think just bigger issue-wise, it speaks to being pretty out of touch with the fan base. You know what I mean? You don't care about winning. It's not that he doesn't care about winning, but it's about that's not the primary goal right now. That's not what Jim Boylan and the Bulls are focused on. Well, fans have seen the development stagnate, and they're mad about that. So they want you to run through a wall trying to win games. And the Bulls are still trying to win games, so you don't want to get confused by that. But it is bad optics. I think it's bad PR.
Yeah, no question. Very, very different tune from this team as the season is winding down here. So coming back from the break, we heard Sam Smith going back and forth with Jim Boylan, which I found comical. Last time he's going to answer this question. You know that question's coming after three straight games that we've seen out of Kobe White.
It's coming 24 more times,
and
probably.
And
there's
it
24
should.
Games left.
It's a lot, but he answered it for the last time. I don't understand the pushback. I get where they were at the beginning of the season. We talked about it before the year started. No, they're not going to start with Kobe White. They don't want to put that kind of pressure on him. But now he's succeeding. What are they so damn worried about by putting him up against tougher competition for more of those minutes?
Well, I think the main thing is because he had struggled for so long with consistency, we saw him, he was kind of like a shooting star there, you know, lighting up the Grizzlies in his second career game, the big night against the Knicks where he set record in the fourth quarter for three-pointers made. But he'd follow those up with games where he shot like 1 of 7 and had 2 points, where he shot 5 of 15 from the field. So now that he finally has consistency, they want to keep him in that role for the time being because they believe that will help his confidence, help his consistency, and then build off of it. So they don't want to change too much up too quickly. Now, Jim Boylan also has cited stuff like he wants him to be on that second unit, feels he has a rhythm with them when he first starts, and then he builds from there every game. So I'm going to defend Boylan on this one.
Okay.
I like how the Bulls have utilized Kobe White the entire year. He's averaging just shy of 25 minutes a game. At no point did they force him into a point guard role. I think technically speaking, Basketball Reference lists him with 9% of his minutes at point guard, but they put the ball in his hands still. A lot early in the year, he wasn't playing with Zach LaVine, so he could kind of be the guy with the scoring punch off the bench and didn't have to feel like he was just spotting up early on trying to feel his way with the best player on the team. So I like everything they've done with him, and I'm still with Jim Boylan right now. I think I'd write it this way. I mean, there's 24 or 23 more games left. Like, it's okay to start him. I'm fine with that, but I think for now I'd do this. Maybe later in the year, last dozen games or so, maybe move him in the starting lineup. But consistency's the biggest thing for Kobe White, and for the first time in his career, NBA career, he's had it at a high level, so I'm actually okay. And you have to remember, Kobe's okay with it too. He said he's great with what he's doing right now, and he cares about finishing games, so I'd let him roll a little longer this way.
I don't think a lot of fans know a lot about Kobe White. How is he to cover when you guys are talking to him before, after the game, practice, games?
He's very optimistic. He's a kindred spirit. Like, he's always kind of buzzing, I guess. Whether they win or lose, like, Kobe can sit there and crack a joke with Daniel Gafford in the locker room post-game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When it's pre-game, he's in there in the locker room chatting guys up. Out there on the court, chatting guys up. So he's a guy, a pretty affable guy that everyone has come to like a lot so far. They appreciate his work ethic. I think he's still trying to find his way in the NBA almost with his work habits, I think, is something to point out. Because like in training camp, he was going back and shooting like a lot of nights at 10 p.m. And then he figured out as the season went along that that's more difficult to do every single night with the travel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might have been just part of the learning curve, like how to rest your body and everything when you're playing 82 games instead of 35 like you were in college. So a good guy. He lives with his older brother here in Chicago, so he's got Will to hang out with every day, helps him out. And he enjoys the city. He's a guy that I think Bulls fans are going to come to love a lot in these coming years because of his ability to light it up, but he's just a good personality too.
Okay, cool. Joe Ostrowski here on 670 The Score in studio. Cody Westerlund covers the Bulls, does a great job on 670thescore.com. Follow him on Twitter by his name, at Cody Westerlund. So after the trade deadline came and went, Bulls didn't do anything. We weren't expecting them to make any sort of a move. One of the things that John Paxson was telling the fan base was, listen, we didn't do anything because we still don't know what we have. We haven't seen these guys in the court. I mean, it's just, we're all tired of it. It's the conversation we have again and again and again. If we're not complaining about Jim Boylan, we're talking about how this team doesn't stay healthy and they haven't spent any time on the court together. And it is an excuse, but it's also true. Let's try to figure out what they do have, because what Paxson was saying is, you know, since we started this last rebuild 2.5, almost 3 years ago now, we still don't know exactly what we have. So what have we learned? Like, you can go to any piece that we thought would be something. So obviously, guys like Dunn, they've moved on from Kobe White, we've discussing. If you want to throw Gafford in there, when Carter had tough time staying healthy so far, and some of the other guys that they brought in, of course, LaVine, Markkanen. Just what do we know about this group?
We know their best player is a borderline all-star in Zach LaVine. okay. who cannot single-handedly lift a franchise to a postseason berth. And this is by no means a LeBron comparison, but like you roll the ball out with LeBron and you're probably going to win 52 games with him in his prime, no matter who you put around him.
Right.
You roll the ball out with Zach LaVine and that does not automatically get you to 37 or 38 wins even. So you have to build a team that fits with its parts everywhere with him as a key part. And it does not look like they have the key parts they need around him right now. So you have to be willing with Zach LaVine to take any path. That means keep him. That means consider trading him if a really good offer comes along in the coming years, because you cannot be locked into a guy who hasn't been able to single-handedly lead you to playoffs. Now, injuries are a main concern about that. So beyond that, what do the Bulls have? I think they got two promising young pieces in Wendell Carter Jr. and Coby White. I still like Lauri Markkanen's basketball talents and ability, but they've got to do a better job getting it out of him, putting him in situations to succeed. But we don't know much. That's the problem. We don't know how these guys fit together. And even if they come back, it's going to be really stunted here late in the season, because are they going to come back at the same time? Like Wendell Carter Jr. seems like he's getting close from the ankle injury, but Lauri Markkanen might be weeks away still, it seems like, with his pelvis injury. So that is a very, very big question for him. So that's the problem. We don't know enough about the Bulls, and I don't think they're going to learn much in these last 23 games. I really don't. I think you can learn a lot about Coby White, giving him more minutes. You can learn about some of the young guys individually. I don't think you can learn hardly anything at all about this team as a whole.
I think it's easy to say, to give answers when you have a lot more information, but I'm going to ask you to remove what we've seen with the injuries with Otto Porter Jr. Was that the right move to make?
Ooh, that's a good question. At the time, you're saying, was it the right move to make?
Because
obviously in hindsight, no. But Jabari Parker did not fit in with the Bulls at all at that point in time. The rest of the season was only going to go worse with Jabari. The way, for lack of a better word, he was moping around for weeks at a time.
No, we're never going to see Porter again, right? This is it?
The rest of this year? No.
Oh, well, he's got it's the player option next year.
Yeah, he has a player option, okay. So he'll opt into the $28 million. Like the only thing that really matters to Otto Porter right now is proving himself a lot toward the end of next year, right before he goes into free agency.
I was hoping it was
right?
a team option, yeah.
It is not a team option. I don't think they misused the Otto Porter money. And I guess the follow-up would be they would have had more money this past summer to sign people if they had not traded for Otto Porter Jr., but the Bulls were under no illusion that they could attract a premier free agent and thought Otto Porter Jr. would be better than whatever level of third-tier, fourth-tier free agent they could attract in that spot. So I don't really care if it's the right move or the wrong move. They were just flip-flopping pieces that didn't fit or were injured. So I wouldn't even get on them too much for that one, I don't think.
Okay. So one of the big storylines is now they're finally listening, or I think people are hoping that they're listening, and they're going to make some sort of change in the front office this upcoming offseason. We know about the rumors, All-Star Weekend. They were talking to all these people, rumors about the Pacers GM, Buchanan coming over. We'll see if any of that happens. But for you, covering the team, and one thing we would always say is, well, they're going to show up anyways. They're going to keep showing up. There's no pressure on the top of the organization to do anything. And you hear rumblings that that's not the case anymore. And we see the pictures of the stadium. How bad is it? When you're there and you're looking around, how much quieter is it than when you were starting to cover the team a few years back?
A lot quieter.
Like how different is everything at the UC?
A lot quieter. I would say that, I mean, the United Center hasn't really felt electric since Tom Thibodeau's last year. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I mean, there are great games where everyone gets into it. Like, you know, Chicago fans are great. But like when it comes to any night to night carryover and really belief in like the product on the floor, like you can tell when the fans are like, yeah, those guys are playing for me. You know what I mean? It hasn't felt that way since the end of the Tibbs era.
Noah's here with Noah and Taj. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't work out under Fred, obviously, for various reasons. And the roster turned over a lot in those few years. And it's always been disjointed since then. But that was really bad in December, I think, was when the attendance lows were coming in, the decade low or the last 15 years, lowest attendance and everything. It's been a little bit better lately, but these midweek games at times still, I mean, you see a lot of empty seats. It's something to do on the weekend, but it's not always a trek you want to make.
They're not going for what's on the court.
Yeah,
they're going for the event.
Exactly. So that's a huge deal. And I mean, that's why it's just accumulation of everything. You know, you see the losses piling up, but when you're getting hit in the pockets too, that'll grab an owner's attention any day of the week.
If it's Gar Forman out, Buchanan in, new head coach, Boylan's gone, is that enough?
I don't know. It's
I don't think it is.
It's what you think of Chad Buchanan in that case. You know what I mean? Like the Pacers, I mean, he's been working under Kevin Pritchard, who's one of the best president of basketball operations GMs in the NBA, highly respected. So it's hard to say where something starts and something ends in a case like that. Players seem to respect Buchanan a great deal across the NBA, which is a big deal because, like, again, those GMs have to sit in a meeting, a free agent pitch, with some of the best players and try to attract them to Chicago. And we've seen the Bulls obviously push Gar out of the public spotlight here the last few years. Like, that's a problem. Your GM has to be able to sit in there and attract guys to come to one of the best cities here in the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know in that case. Could I throw something random crazy out there? If the Bulls, like, totally fix it, I would go open up the checkbook. Huge.
Obama!
No, Danny Parkins. I would hire, not hire, but give a basically a blank check if money didn't matter, which we know it does to the Reinsdorfs, to Bobby Webster, the number two in command of the Raptors, who's young and helped build a championship contender and did so in various ways there. His influence was in finding a guy like Pascal Siakam, in analytics, in free agent pitches. Like, he was a big reason that they were comfortable in getting Kawhi, for example, had a relationship with these guys. So he worked in the league office before, so he understands the CBA and kind of the loopholes and everything. The Athletic wrote a terrific article on him earlier in the year. And he's just one of the best and the brightest. And I have no idea if he'd be interested whatsoever at all. But when you have a market like this and you could get paid a lot of money, like, that's the type of thing I think that would be a true fix. You know what I mean? At that level. But I don't know if the Bulls are willing to get there, because as long as John Paxson is here and has a lot of authority, power, final say, you're not ever going to be able to attract a young guy like that, I don't think.
Cody, did you hear Patrick Beverley with Adrian Wojnarowski over All-Star Weekend?
I did not actually hear the sound.
Okay. I've got 30, I think it's 30 seconds, right, Sean? Just about that.
Are you talking about free agency?
Just attracting, yes.
Yes, that was 134.
That was 134. What was the other one?
Vinny, don't that girl tell him he can't play defense.
Wait, which one do you want to hear? let's start with Vinny Del Negro, because we're having a chuckle over that one. Yeah, I don't think we played that one on the air. I want to hear that one, too. There's Patrick Beverley. Talking about the last time, not this past offseason, obviously, the last time he was a free agent.
I think coming back from Europe, there were some chances where if something breaks a little different, you might have played for the Bulls already in your career, right, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I worked in the summertime with the Bulls, I don't know, 2-3 years in a row. Vinny Del Negro, he told me I didn't play defense. But these are the people who are running and coaching organizations. Like, seriously, and that's the problem, and that's the real problem, man. And these people go on and get GM jobs and control teams, and you guys wonder why teams aren't so bad.
And once you get in, you're in for life. Like, okay, I'll just move around. You can be demoted a little bit, that's okay, but once you're in...
It's so good. I mean, he's like a top five defender in the NBA.
Vinny Del Negro.
So good.
So I guess that's the reason he never came home. Because he couldn't play defense, according to the head coach.
Well, that'll turn you off real quick, I feel like.
Maybe that's why John Paxson choked him. Because he told him that Patrick Beverley... Why are you going after Beverly? He can't play defense.
Joakim Noah's minutes was actually number two on the anger list.
Oh, my God. Okay, so what was the other thing? I bring this up because you were talking about bringing someone in to attract free agents. Obviously, one of the most important parts of the gig. Here's Woj talking to Beverly about a top-tier guy coming to Chicago.
In a perfect world where the Bulls are run well, they've got...
Wow. Woj is best line of the day.
I think the Bulls have good young talent. Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine. Lauri Markkanen, I thought was on his way to being an all-star. Maybe he still will someday. This season's been a step back for him. But let's say in a world where you build the infrastructure with young players, the role players, because you know what it takes to get a big free agent. Let's say the Bulls have that. Are they still a free agent destination with the LA teams, with Miami? Do you still imagine that guys look at Chicago, if the thing's going well, that big free agents would want to come here if they knew you plug me in and that's a contender?
Yeah, but, you know, the Bulls have to have, you know, not only the Bulls, but other teams have to have confidence and take a chance on things that don't really go with the numbers. Like, obviously, we had a chance. I was a free agent. I had a chance to go with the Bulls this year. And I told my friends, we talk every day. I play for this team, with the team they have right now. We're making the playoffs. It has nothing to do with skill. It's just, I'm going to change the locker room in there. You know, that losing that attitude, that, man, we got it, man, why we got practice? I'm not trying to hear that, bro. Like, you know, we lock in.
What about the leadership council?
No. But no, that's what it is, though. And that's why you have the Draymond Greens of this league who can take, you know, the Golden States and just take them to another level that you've never seen before.
Patrick Beverly on the Woj Pod. When I first heard that, Cody, I was like, yeah, you know, we spent so much time talking about Jim Boylan, and I fell into it too. Like, he's telling you, okay, Boylan may be a problem. He's not taking any blame away from him, but it starts with those players.
You always need to listen to the players, and the former players, mm-hmm. too. Those people are always the most in touch, so that's very revealing. You know what I mean? Like, these are the guys talking at All-Star Weekend. When they're going out with their buddies offseason, no matter what it is, pickup games, before and after the games on the road. And this is what they're saying. So for him to reveal that is eye-opening, no doubt. But that does put – it's reflective, too.
What I kind of heard is like Zach LaVine ain't
– Well, think about it. Here we have Jim Boylan probably as the biggest punching bag right mm-hmm. now. But the fans probably dislike the front office the most.
Yes.
And then we have players saying it's on the Bulls players. So it is at every level is where the dysfunction is. So everyone has to look into a mirror. I think when you do get back to that, I think there's no doubt that this starts at the top on everything, and it's a trickle-down effect everywhere. So I'm not under any belief that Patrick Beverly would have completely changed the Bulls' fortune this year. Like, I don't know if you sign him.
He said playoffs.
If you sign him last up, Jim Boylan said playoffs on media day too. So did some of these other players. I don't know that plugging him in just fixes all these things, but... they don't have, I will say this.
Who runs the locker room?
The Bulls don't have anyone that gets real angry. They don't.
Who runs that locker room?
Zach LaVine is looked up to. Thad Young's a captain, but Zach's never won. He tells us that all the time, how much it frustrates him.
So probably nobody, right?
Thad Young's new. It's going to be Wendell Carter, hopefully, for the Bulls.
Yeah.
It's hard to do when Wendell Carter's hurt, when he's sidelined by an ankle injury, because... you just get out there, and like, you're not playing and backing up your guys, it's hard to be that leader. So for them, it would be best if he was, but they don't have a Patrick Beverly.
You hear all those people laughing?
In the stands?
In a perfect world where the Bulls are run well, they've got...
right? I mean, how many... Listen, I thought it was going to be interesting to see how the national media was going to handle it. My thinking was... okay, I don't think they're going to be the laughing stock that everyone expects. We all know they're a terribly run organization. They're a complete joke. But I got to say, Cody, I am shocked at how long this has been running. I mean, random weekday still, you turn on the jump in the middle of the afternoon, they're roasting the Bulls. Like, Boylan with the late timeouts, that's one of the top stories on PTI the other day.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that's just like, that's like catnip. That's easy. Easy to take and just put out there, but that doesn't get to the root of these issues. And I think having the All-Star game here was probably reflective of some of those issues, because some of these outsiders, the national view is, oh, they do have good young talent, like Woj just said. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they do. But none of it's coming together, and you're kind of numb when you're 1,000 miles away as to why these things are happening. And
why is that record so bad?
And I think when you come to All-Star Weekend and you see the local view, you hear the local fans, everything, you start to understand a little more. So I think All-Star Weekend not only might have been eye-opening for the Bulls, but some national media members who didn't understand like we do on a daily basis when we talk about the Bulls.
Good. You have your pick for the Honda Classics set, and you're one and done?
Wyndham Clark.
Wow. Listening to Roz.
Yep. 100%. Now I took Barry Rosner's word for it.
Played great last year. I think he finished seventh.
He plays well at hard courses, apparently.
This course was graded out as the second toughest last year, 2 years ago. I think it was fifth
generally
toughest.
Generally one of the top 10 hardest courses.
15, 16, 17, one of the toughest three-hole stretches all year.
You drive it in the rough, you're in big trouble on this course. Hopefully he hits the ball straight. That didn't do any research on his driving accuracy.
Water on 15 of 18 holes.
Hey, you know, haven't had any success so far, so.
How about my Patrick Reed call last week at 33-1 after Thursday?
That was good, Joe.
That means I couldn't take him in one and done because we're already around in, though.
That was a good hit. Angry Patrick Reed.
Good job, man. Everybody's calling him a cheater.
That's
tour.
What fuels him. It's like MJ.
We should have been on it.
The more you yell
earlier,
at him, the better he's going to play.
We should have known.
When you ignore Patrick Reed,
he's not
very good.
How many people had him winning the Masters at 50-1? Nobody.
Not many.
Then all of a sudden, you know, he's a major winner, and then he's sitting. He was around 50-1 last week because of all the great golfers that were there.
Who are you going to take in the Masters?
I've got to stop wasting money on Jon Rahm. That's got to happen at some point.
He's fun, though.
But maybe this is the time.
You need to put down one of those yearly bets where you pick him to win a major so you don't have to feel so attached every single time and tear yourself up. Let's do it one time.
God, if Tiger's playing better, I'd make a case. And it's Augusta, so he's still there. You can make a case for Tiger, but is he playing again until then?
He will play the Arnold Palmer Invitational, probably.
Of course.
So. Maybe one more lead up before then.
I don't have my pick yet. Do you have your Masters?
No, not my Masters pick.
It should be easy. The same guys are great there every single year.
I like Jon Rahm a lot because he has every facet of the game. Like, he's playing so well out of the bunkers this year, too, which is a big improvement. And we know he hits it as far and as well as anyone this year.
Wait, I was looking at Clark yesterday. I think he's 60-1.
Put some money on him to win if you don't. You can't copy my pick in one and done.
I'm not going to take Wyndham Clark.
If you I'll take one and done, it'd be real
bad. I'm going to take Luke List or Ryan Palmer or something.
Luke List is like the worst putter in the world. Like, you could pull a guy out of the bar in Chicago and he'd be better at putting than
Luke List.
I think
he's got two top tens there at the Honda Classic.
Well, that's good. All right. We'll see.
Thanks for dropping by. It was good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
That's Cody Westerlin. Follow him on Twitter by his name at Cody Westerlin. Find his Bulls coverage on 670. thescore.com. We'll also continue a little bit with the Bulls, and I want to get into this massive story going on in the NFL with some of the elite players and how public they're going today with their no votes. That's next. Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score.
Our goals this year are really simple. First and foremost, we want to compete at a high, high level. We think we can compete. And when you compete at a high level, you have the ability to be a playoff caliber team, and we set that as a goal. Jim talks about it. He's not afraid of it. And our guys, through their work, have shown us that they want to make that commitment. So we feel good about that.
I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me.
Uh-huh. You got to win some games, Jim, if you want to make the postseason. And right now, as Cody mentioned last segment, Jim Boylan has the second worst record in Bulls history. I mean, Pete Myers is 0-3 in his three games. How close is he to Cartwright? So Boylan's winning percentage, 316. Cartwright's is 338. So, yeah, there's a pretty good shot that he's going to finish. I don't know when he's going to finish. That's part of the problem. And who's making that call? We make this assumption that it's Paxson or the next general manager, whether that is, if there is a next general manager, but decisions like that, why don't you look a little bit higher? You have to look at Reinsdorf. Michael could say Jerry. We're used to saying Jerry, but Michael's been running things, right? For 10 years now, and for some reason, he doesn't catch a lot of heat. It's like, oh, yeah, he's just kind of settling in. Yeah, he's been settling in for the last decade. And so they're not even competing for a playoff spot. They are six games back, six games out of the A seed in the soft East. There are two below 500 teams that would have playoff spots today. The Brooklyn Nets without Durant at 26-30 and the Orlando Magic at 25-32. And your Bulls are sitting there with a record of 20-39. Can't close, can't finish games again. Yeah, they've done a decent job, I think, of acquiring talent. But maybe in the end, we're going to say, well, that was a miss and that was a miss because there just hasn't been enough time. Certainly not enough time on the court. But as far as what they do have, you do have to look at the most recent drafts. That's where I'm going. Because if Zach LaVine is the all-star that people wanted him to be, if he's truly a difference maker, how come he's not helping this team? It's about White, about Carter, and what are you going to be able to do in free agency? Are you truly going to add anything? Always the question mark for the Bulls. Always. And Pat Beverly, guy that's been in the league forever, you heard him say, yeah, they can attract a top-tier free agent, but you got to change that room. I know as a Bulls fan, your instinct is rip on Garpax, rip on this terrible head coach. He's so dense. Look at some of the stuff he's saying before and after the games. Players matter. Players matter in the NBA more than any other sport. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 o'clock. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Phone lines open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. 708 Texter, doesn't make any difference who the coach is. If you can't keep players healthy, their teams have decimated over the last 3 to 4 years by injuries. You are 100% correct. I can't argue with any of that. And it is every single level of this organization. There isn't one. That's why this conversation about, okay, you change the GM, you bring in Buchanan, get rid of Foreman. You think that's going to change much? Okay, let's say Buchanan wants his own guy. That's normal. That happens all the time. New GM, they want their head coach. You make those two moves? Are the Bulls going to stay healthy? Does a ton really change that much? Like, yeah, Boylan is probably near the bottom of the league as far as quality head coaches. But I don't think that too much would be changing. That's why I was a little disappointed that the reports we were getting around the trade deadline were, nope, off limits, not even talking to you about Zach LaVine. Don't you have an idea what Zach LaVine is? If you're saying you don't know enough about Coby White, okay, get it. Wendell Carter Jr. understood Gafford. Yeah, fine. But you know what Zach LaVine is. You have enough of a sample size. Lauri Markkanen, too. Let's not forget him. Coming into the year, we thought he was the best player on the roster. That has not been the case. Yeah, Sean.
And just to the 708 text, because it's a good text about it doesn't make, you know, you got to keep these players healthy. Since 2016, the Bulls have missed a total of 715 games due to injury so far. And at the time of when this was posted, which was a month ago, mm-hmm. I don't think it's changed too much. There are four teams that have missed more in that time. Philadelphia, 954. A large majority of that was Joel Embiid.
Now, this is just starters, looking at starters?
This is every player.
Okay.
Yeah, so every player that was on the roster that has been injured. So Philadelphia led 954. A chunk of that was taken up by one player, Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, 887, aided by a 344 missed games in 2016. That has to play in with Chris Bosh's heart condition.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Pelicans, 844, missed 342 in 2017. Also, Anthony Davis was injured last year, but also he kind of chose not to play. And then Memphis, 774. So they are fifth in the NBA in missed time by any player with 715. This was a month ago.
Okay.
So that just shows me that
I actually thought it would be worse.
That's still not good. Top five.
No, but it's been so bad, I thought it would actually be worse. But Philadelphia, Miami, New Orleans, and Memphis now. I know it's helped that they add the 1 and 2 picks, but those teams are actually competing, unlike the Bulls. They've actually found a way to get some depth there. 312-644-6767. Top of the hour, I want to get to some Cubs. I'm going to try and make a case. Now, maybe you're going to say this guy's a damn fool, and you might be doing that anyways. But I'm going to try to make a case for you to be optimistic about the 2020 Cubs. I think I found an angle, and some of these numbers might surprise you a little bit, that could lead to a pretty good season for the Cubs. We'll see if you're buying it all at 8 o'clock. But coming up next, if you've been on social media today, you have seen the superstars of the NFL speak out against adding games to the schedule and even adding another playoff team for many different reasons. Get to that next. Joe Oshow, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670, The Score.
All right, very interesting if you've been following what is happening with the NFL today, and this is something that will probably, it could be going on for the next couple of weeks. So big story to follow, what the players are going to do here. They just need a simple majority for this to happen, okay? It is, the CBA was sent to the two players for a vote, I believe it was about 24 hours ago, and it could take up to 2 weeks to get this, but all sorts of superstars around the game are letting people know exactly how they feel. I'm not seeing anyone say, yep, I'm down, I voted for yes. Well, we're seeing guys like Russell Wilson. He tweets this today. The NBA and MLB are doing it right. Players come first. All NFL players deserve the same. We should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. I vote no. All caps there. You don't hear Russell Wilson say anything ever. Never outspoken. Alshon Jeffrey retweets Russell Wilson. Threw a couple of emojis on there. Certainly agrees with him. The Bears' Allen Robinson tweets, get the franchise tag out the new CBA. Lineman David Bakhtiari, so can we just let an executive group of NFL agents be a part of our council to negotiate our CBA? This is ridiculous. This is Marcus Pouncey earlier today. He's driving around just to set the scene, and he records this video. Take a listen to Pouncey.
It's so crazy, man. I vote no. That our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that all that. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a ass deal just so these sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get done.
I think I had 7 different favorite parts. Wait a second. I don't even know where to start. I love that. Wait. I do want to run through a wall right now. Damn, I wish he was a bear. Can he be a bear? I don't care if he still has it or not. He's declining. Okay, fine. That happens with offensive linemen. Let's play that again. Because I don't even know how to rank my 3 favorite parts of that. How many seconds is that, Sean?
40.
40-second clip. I never get this either. The people that record a video while they're driving, that's a ticket, right?
And blasting music. So,
But
like,
I'm going to record this, but I'm not even going to, maybe he did turn it down.
It's still loud.
It is super loud. Play it again. I love this.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. That our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that all that. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team stand up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a ass deal just so these sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get done.
Okay, my favorite part is, I don't know why, it's ridiculous, but it's when he said, the Pouncey twins vote no. Why do I like that so much? Because he just speaks for his brother? Like, no, not me, not I. Pouncey twins vote no. I don't see your brother in the video. He's not there. Was he in the back seat? Is he in the sidecar? Every time he said vote no, I love that. Rip money. That was good too. Richard Sherman tweeted out this. Health and wellness of our men is always the most important aspect. There is no price you can put on that, and that is why I voted no. I respect the men that have been part of this discussion and stood up for their locker rooms. And that was when, that was a retweet. So he added his own thoughts there to Aaron Rodgers. When does he say anything? Aaron Rodgers, I voted no last night. Going down to the second paragraph, couple paragraphs down rather. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with positive feedback received about any extra risks involved with the added regular season game. Also, an extra game for every 2 seed moving forward on Wild Card Weekend.
The Pouncey Twins vote no.
That's my favorite part. I love that the NFL players, they're looking around, and this goes to Russell Wilson. They're looking around in the other leagues, and they're saying, well, the players have all this power in the NBA. It's viewed as the players' league. And Adam Silver works with the players. That's obvious. MLB, they've always had such a strong players' union. And the NFL's looking around and saying, well, what about us? Why aren't we doing this? We need to stick together. Let's vote no against this. And I understand. I hear you. I used to be that guy that would say, okay, more football is better for my life. I'm good for that. You add a regular season game, shorten the preseason. Everybody wants to shorten the preseason anyways. Oh, here's a little carrot for you guys. We'll add a playoff team. Steelers, you would have made it 4 times over the last decade if there would have been a 7th seed in the AFC. I just don't think you mess with it. And we're going to see 8-8 teams in the postseason. Some people are good with that. I don't think so. I think where it's good is for front office members. You'll see less general managers losing jobs and less head coaches getting fired because there isn't going to be the same heat. Hey, I made the playoffs last year. I was 8-8. Matt Nagy could walk around if they would have won that Rams game and this was a playoff format. Bears would have been in the playoffs as bad as they were a season ago. They would have been a playoff team and then even more security than he already has.
I'm just wondering, like, at what point will the bar, like, let's say they add the 7th team, at what point would the bar then move to, all right, you haven't won in the playoffs? Because my immediate thought goes to, it showed in Marvin Lewis's tenure in Cincinnati, he was making it to the playoffs consistently and wasn't winning games.
Yet he
still was able to keep around. So I was just wondering.
It depends on the organization, right? Like every organization. Jerry Jones is going to handle things much differently than the Cincinnati Bengals. But the Bears, I think they're somewhere in between.
Like, can you remember a time a guy was winning playoff games but wasn't winning championships and got fired outside of Jerry Jones's head coaches?
Man, I'd have to think back. I'm sure it's happened. But yeah, it's tough. If you're in the mix every single year. The prevailing thought has been that this is going to pass. And if you put yourself in the position of the player, you're an NFL player, your family's set, generations after you are set. For the majority. Yeah, actually, I shouldn't even say that. That's probably quite a leap of faith. And a lot of these players speaking out, they have multi-million dollar contract signed up. Is that enough? So what the NFL is saying to the players, hey, we're going to shorten the preseason. You guys don't have to deal with these preseason games anymore, but we want something. We want that extra regular season game. But it's okay because we're going to give you a bye. We're going to give you two more playoff teams. Is that enough if you're a player? Okay, so you go from 12 out of 32 to 14 out of 32. That's enough for you? You're making a few extra dollars, obviously, because of that extra game, but they're talking about putting a cap on that. If I'm the player, I don't hear enough. You're not selling me on this if I'm set financially.
The Pouncey Twins vote no.
I want to see what more Bears think. Allen Robinson, he voiced his displeasure. He said, get that franchise tag out of there. Amen. Allen Robinson chose to play with Mitchell Trubisky. Just saying. He did that. And I certainly understand where A-Rob is coming from that. Get the franchise tag out of the CBA. Understood. You know, there's been a lack of storylines involving the Cubs. There's a few things popping here or there this spring. New manager, new leadoff hitter. I think you'll see consistency with the top of the lineup. You do have question marks. What's going on with center field? What's going on with the leadoff man? Also, some stuff with the rotation, questions in the bullpen. But I was thinking about this earlier today, and I think I can sell you on something. I think I'll be able to sell you on something, a reason to be optimistic about the 2020 Cubs. We'll talk about that next. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.